Are we becoming less compassionate? That's the confronting question that was addressed in the annual Emma Hutchison Memorial Lecture at the University of Queensland on Thursday this week. The lecture was given by Michael Barnett, Professor of International Affairs and Political Science at George Washington University, and the subject of his lecture was Mobilising Compassion. Michael's also working on a couple of books currently which have very thought-provoking titles. One is The Spectre of the West and the other, The End of Humanity, Humanitarianism in a Post-Liberal Age. Michael Barnett, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Pleasure to be here.
Now, Michael, you gave the Emma Hutchison Memorial Lecture, and I understand that you'd met Emma Hutchison and were aware of her work. I wonder if you could speak a little about that.
Yeah, just an absolutely terrific scholar and human being who really pioneered the role of emotions in international life. And to put that in context, scholars like myself really are uncomfortable with emotions. We prefer to think of us as rational human beings. And so emotions don't figure into how we make decisions or how the world operates. And even though we know that's kind of a contrivance, we just find it a lot easier not to work in that realm. And Emma's work really taught us that we were cutting off a good chunk of the world and a good chunk of ourselves in doing so, and that we needed to reintegrate the role of emotions, because so much of what we see in terms of action, response, it's all about emotions, and these have very dramatic effects. And not only did she provide that framework for us, but she also told us how to study it. So her work, along with others, has just done an amazing job of bringing emotions back into the mix of world politics. And it seems so obvious, but that doesn't mean that international relations scholars are going to pick up on the obvious.
And I was interested also that you referred to some of her work dealing with the damage and harm that could emerge from practices of compassion. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of this comes from our understandings of compassion. And most of the time, most of us, rightly so, think of compassion as an unmitigated good. No one ever says there's just too much compassion, although there are a few like Elon Musk that will tell us that. And yet, at the same time, we often think of, let's say, something like empathy, where we can put ourselves in another person's shoes, as so important for compassion. Except that in many cases with compassion, when you begin to think that you actually can really know someone else's experiences, you tend to impose your own experiences on them. We also will feel the need to, in some ways, paternalize. That, you know, I know how you're feeling, and so this is what you should be doing. And, or this is how you really should be feeling, or it's time to get over it, like I got over it. The other side is that a lot of times when we say compassion, and this is some of Professor Hutchison's great work, it's really not compassion, it's more pity. And if you stop to think about it, we actually know the difference in our interpersonal lives when someone's pitying us versus someone who is actually really trying to understand how we feel. A lot of what we call compassion is often really pity, where we feel sorry for someone, that we see them as necessarily helpless. And that has a very different dynamic to it than feelings of compassion.
Michael, in your lecture, you referred to the great crash of 2025. What crashed this year?
That great crash is really the collapse of the aid system. If you look at the numbers in terms of the financial resources that have floated the aid world for decades, it's been cut in almost half, with the expectation that it's going to get even worse the following year. And the consequence has been absolutely catastrophic for those who rely on humanitarian aid. So when the United States cut its humanitarian aid portion by 40%, and actually more when you begin to look at the other programs, people who were relying on vaccines. You know, they were no longer available. George Bush's signature program for AIDS, PEPFAR, for antiretrovirals for HIV/AIDS patients, disappeared. People are dying now. All funding for gender-based violence and for sexual trauma disappeared. And the list goes on and on and on. It's had devastating consequences for not just simply the aid organizations, but really for the life circumstances of those on the ground. And it was done really in a matter of hours and days. It was done with a level of cruelty that really was quite phenomenal. And again, to point to Elon Musk, he talked about feeding USAID, which is the hub of America's foreign assistance program, into the wood chipper.
So you've pointed there to the rapidly implemented policies of the second Trump administration, although we know there's also been foreign aid cuts in other countries across the world as well.
Absolutely.
Michael, does that collapse in funding mean that there's been a decline in global compassion?
You know, this is where it gets a little tricky because, you know, I'll be the first to say that a lot of U.S. funding was not done because of compassion. It was done because of our foreign strategic and economic interests. And that's true for actually a lot of the countries and even the ones that we idolize, like the Scandinavians. And so to say that somehow this represents a collapse of compassion, I think is correct. And certainly the fact that there was so little pushback from domestic publics around the world tells us something of a lack of support. There are many people who look back at that first Trump administration where he had similar designs, but ended up confronting a bipartisan unity in Congress that had rallied around foreign assistance. And so the cuts never really came. In fact, they continue to increase bit by bit. And I think many people hoped that it would be the same thing with the second term. But the shock was that the cuts happened and then not a word could be heard in Congress and, you know, frankly, in a lot of the domestic American population. And there was some resistance. There was a lot of complaining and moaning and critiquing, but it came to naught. And that's a similar story in other parts of the world that have been cutting funding, Italy, Germany, France. And I think it becomes a clear sign if we want to measure our compassion by dollars, which is not a bad measure. You know, I don't want to say that our compassion decreased by 40% overnight, but I will say that it's a clear sign. And by the way, just to note that there have been many other people who've been warning of this for quite some time. Both Pope Francis and then Pope Leo have been arguing that what we've been seeing, and especially with regard to refugees, which is another great indicator of compassion, that we've now entered into a period of international indifference.
Michael, your lecture also asks a controversial question, which is, have even humanitarians themselves become less compassionate? Can you tell us why you asked that question and what your answer is?
Yeah, you know, I was a little surprised I didn't get any pushback. To get a sense of this, you have to understand that there have been two really important developments that have taken place in the humanitarian sector over the last 25 years. One has been what I refer to as the bureaucratization and the professionalization of the humanitarian sector. Some would say it's just simply bringing the right rules, the right standards, the right decision-making processes that are more technical and rational to account for how aid is allocated and delivered so that it will become more efficient and more effective. And what that has meant, though, is introducing a, you know, like all bureaucracies have to do, system of rules, siloed units that don't talk to one another usually. And it also increases the distance between humanitarian workers and the affected populations that they're trying to serve. So some of that distance is even at the very mundane level, for instance, that we have various reports that show that international aid workers spend much less time in the field interacting with the local populations. They used to walk around and get to know people, talk to the village elders, you know, and be very much more integrated. But now they're bunkered. They're very much secured behind large walls. They have a lot more reporting documents. They're constantly on the phone with headquarters. And so all of this has made them much more, in many ways, quarantined, which is exactly what we know bureaucracies do, as they then begin to treat people not as people, but as numbers. So this growing distance becomes a real difficulty. And if you think that familiarity, some form of intimacy, is in many ways the beating heart of compassion, then if you actually no longer have interaction with the people, then compassion declines. The other is that there's been a real collaboration with corporations. And it used to be that humanitarians saw corporations, capitalism, the for-profit sector as almost demons, because their values, which were about chasing money, were not the values of aid workers, which is about chasing and protecting humanity. And over the last number of years, there's been a growing partnership between corporations and aid agencies. And what you can see is that in many ways, aid agencies have been changing as a consequence of this. You can see it, for instance, in the executive boards, where the executive boards of the largest international aid agencies are now dominated by people from the business sector or from fundraising. It used to be you had people who had spent their lives in the field, but they've been replaced. And as a consequence, their decisions now are based less on traditional humanitarian values and more on metrics like efficiency, whether in fact their allocation decisions, how that will affect their brand. Branding's an important element now. And then also how it will affect their budget line. Will they be able to grow the size of the humanitarian organization or not? And so in many ways, those become the goals as opposed to the previous goals, which were really about helping populations. And so you can begin to see then where these two trends, corporatization and bureaucratization, are in many ways stripping humanitarianism of those basic values that once were the very anchor of what it meant to be a humanitarian.
Michael, you've given us some fairly bitter food for thought this morning. What's your sense of if and how humanitarianism can bounce back from the situation that you've described?
Well, one of our punchlines in the book on the end of humanity is that this is the end of humanitarianism as we knew it. That the humanitarianism that many of us have grown up with over the last 30 years was largely a humanitarianism that was more made of these big multi-billion dollar aid agencies, and all from the West. And what we've seen, though, over the last 15 years is the growth of Southern aid agencies who do most of the work, but who've been struggling also to get the power. And that's called localization. And one of the things that we may be seeing then is a hastening of localization as, in fact, more work and decision-making power goes to local aid agencies and national aid agencies, which for many people is a good thing. At the same time, though, it's going to require the large international aid agencies in many ways to rethink their own, as they like to say, their own business models. How do we adjust to this new world? What is our role going to be? And I think those are actually conversations that have been long overdue. They've been taking place, but with very little action. What we're now seeing is a space for the recreation of a different kind of humanitarianism, which may, in fact, be a very good thing. And it's not to say that I prefer the process, which has been dramatic and drastic, but rather it is possible to take this moment and see it as an opportunity.
Michael Barnett, thank you so much for speaking with us on Sunday Extra.
My pleasure.
And Michael's the Professor of International Affairs and Political Science at George Washington University, and he presented the annual Emma Hutchison Memorial Lecture at the University of Queensland this week on the subject of mobilising compassion. Michael's upcoming book, due out in 2026, is The End of Humanity, Humanitarianism in a Post-Liberal Age.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.